The Book of Daniel, number 129, Unveiling Prophetic Significance, the Republican Horn, and the Final Movements. Key takeaways. In this comprehensive analysis, we delve into the intricate prophetic lines of Daniel 11, verse 40, exploring their connection to pivotal historical events from 1989 to the imminent advent of a Sunday law. Central to our examination is the prophetic significance of the Republican Horn, intricately woven into the fabric of global politics and religious dynamics. We trace its parallel trajectory alongside apostate Protestantism, uncovering their twofold nature and their role in shaping end-time events. Furthermore, we scrutinize the historical milestones from the birth of the United States as a prophetic kingdom to the Civil War era, illuminating their relevance in decoding the prophetic tapestry. Through meticulous analysis, we aim to unravel the intricate web of prophecies, shedding light on the political attributes of the Republican Horn within the broader framework of end-time events. Daniel 11:40 serves as a prophetic roadmap, guiding our understanding of the historical epoch from 1989 to the anticipated enactment of a Sunday law, offering profound insights into the trajectory of global events. The interplay between the Republican and Protestant horns mirrors the historical tensions between liberalism and conservatism, symbolized by the Sanhedrin's factions during Christ's time, foreshadowing their alliance against faithful Sabbath keepers in the impending crisis. By dissecting pivotal moments in American history, such as the formation of the Democratic and Republican parties and the Emancipation Proclamation, we discern the underlying spiritual and political dynamics shaping the course of prophetic events. The transition from movement to church and back to movement, exemplified in the Protestant Horn's evolution from Philadelphia to Laodicea and then vice versa, offers profound insights into the cyclical nature of religious movements and their prophetic significance. Through a nuanced analysis of Revelation's symbolic imagery, including the ascent of Islam and the sealing of the 144,000, we uncover the intricate interplay between spiritual forces, discerning the unfolding of divine judgment amidst earthly turmoil. The symbolism of the two witnesses and the impending great earthquake signifies a paradigm shift in religious consciousness, heralding the emergence of a faithful remnant amidst the upheaval of apostasy and spiritual darkness. In conclusion, our exploration unveils the profound prophetic significance embedded within historical events and political movements, offering valuable insights into the unfolding drama of end-time prophecy. As we navigate the tumultuous seas of global upheaval, may these revelations serve as a beacon of hope and understanding amidst the encroaching shadows of uncertainty and danger. We are considering verse 40 of Daniel 11 and are addressing the prophetic line of verse 40 that is associated with the horn of republicanism. We are basing the application upon the time of the end which arrived in 1989. That line represents the history of 1989 unto the soon coming Sunday law and is typified by the prophetic period from 508 to 538 when the papacy was first empowered and enforced a Sunday law at the Council of Orleans. It is also typified by the line from Christ's birth unto his baptism. We are also adding to those lines the line of prophetic history found in verse 2 of Daniel 11. There we find that the sixth president of the United States after the time of the end in 1989 is Donald Trump, who according to the verse, stirs up, awakens, all the realm of Gratia, globalism, in the election of 2016. We then began to consider the prophetic characteristics associated with the three powers, which make up the threefold union of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet, which together are, since 1989, leading the world to the close of probation at the battle of the great day of God, which is Armageddon. We are considering these prophetic characteristics in order to identify the political attributes of the Republican Horn of the Earth Beast of Revelation 13. The two horns of republicanism and Protestantism were represented with the two horns upon the ram of Medo-Persia in Daniel chapter 8. Then I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram which had two horns, and the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other. And the higher came up last. Daniel 8:3. Medo-Persia was a twofold power. as was France in the French Revolution, and is the United States. The two horns of the United States are republicanism and Protestantism, but the earth beast with the two horns changes from a lamb-like beast in its beginning unto a beast which speaks as a dragon at its ending. The horn's two prophetic lines run parallel to one another in Daniel chapter 11, verse 40, and when considered together, they both begin at the time of the end in 1798. When the horns are investigated individually, the horn of Protestantism is prophetically associated with the time of the end in 1798, and the horn of Republicanism is associated with the time of the end in 1989. Both horns have a twofold nature, as typified by the Sanhedrin in the time of Christ that was made up of Sadducees and Pharisees. Sadducees were liberals and Pharisees were conservatives, and though they were avowed enemies, they came together against Christ at the cross. At the soon coming Sunday Law, both horns of apostate Protestantism and apostate Republicanism will form a church-state relationship against Christ's faithful Seventh-day Sabbath keepers. But as the two horns proceed through the history of the earth beast, each of the horns have an internal controversy portrayed with the liberalism of the Sadducees and conservatism of the Pharisees. We are now considering the horn of Republicanism. And now take note that the Democratic Party traces its origins back to the very beginnings of the history of the United States. It was formed in 1828, but had its political origins with Thomas Jefferson and James Madison. According to the testimony of the two horns of Medo-Persia, the Republican Party was established in 1854 in opposition to the pro-slavery position of the Democratic Party. It therefore was the higher horn in Daniel chapter 8, for it was the horn that came up last. Of the twofold nature of the Republican horn, the Democratic Party came up at the first, and the Republican Party came up last. The issue which produced the Republican Party was its anti-slavery position in opposition to the Democratic Party's pro-slavery position. A theme with both horns is either political or spiritual slavery. That is why 1863 became a turning point for both horns. In 1863, the Republican horn pronounced freedom for the slaves, and the Democratic Party's resistance to that freedom produced not only the official Republican Party, but also the U.S. Civil War. In 1776, the United States spoke and rejected the slavery of both the European kings, statecraft, and the Pope, churchcraft. Then in 1789, the United States spoke as the Constitution went into effect. The earth beast had effectively swallowed up the flood of papal and kingly European persecution. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth, and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Revelation 12:15-17. Then at the birth of the United States, as the sixth kingdom of Bible prophecy in 1798, the United States again spoke, and in so doing it placed into the record what the United States will speak at the end, for Jesus always illustrates the end with the beginning. The earth beast is to speak as a dragon at the soon coming Sunday Law, and when it does so, it ceases to be the sixth kingdom of Bible prophecy. What it spoke in its beginning as a kingdom of Bible prophecy in 1798, it represents what it will speak again when it speaks as a dragon. The immigration laws of 1798 are referred to as the Alien and Sedition Acts, and were a series of four laws passed by the United States Congress and signed into law by President John Adams in 1798. The laws primarily dealt with issues related to aliens, foreigners, residing in the United States, and they had a significant impact on immigration during that period. The four laws were thus: the Naturalization Act of 1798. This law extended the residency requirement for immigrants to become U.S. citizens from 5 years to 14 years. It made it more difficult for immigrants to become citizens and participate in the political process. The Alien Friends Act. This law allowed the president to deport any non-citizen considered dangerous to the peace and safety of the United States during peacetime. It gave the president significant discretion in deporting foreigners. The Alien Enemies Act. This law granted the president the authority to apprehend, detain, and deport any male citizen of a hostile nation during wartime. It was primarily aimed at potential spies or saboteurs from enemy countries. The Sedition Act. While not directly related to immigration, the Sedition Act made it a crime to publish false, scandalous, or malicious statements against the U.S. government, Congress, or the president with the intent to defame them or bring them into disrepute. It was used to suppress political dissent and criticism. The essence of the Alien and Sedition Acts at the beginning of the United States as the Sixth Kingdom in 1798 identify plainly the intent of Donald Trump and his MAGA supporters. The act was the first speaking, and when the Earth Beast speaks as a dragon at its last, the laws will be very similar. The fact that the environment of the current history perfectly reflects the logic for these acts to be repeated is Christ's signature as Alpha and Omega. In the middle of the speaking of the Earth Beast in 1863 was the first Republican president's Emancipation Proclamation. The Emancipation Proclamation marked the dead center of the Civil War, and thus the definition of the Hebrew word truth is found in the three waymarks of the Earth Beast's speaking. The first letter of the Hebrew alphabet is the same as the last letter, and the 13th letter is the symbol of rebellion. It needs to be considered at this point that 1863 and the rebellion identified there was also fulfilled in the Laodicean Adventist Church, represented by the Protestant horn. At the same time, the Republican horn was manifesting a political rebellion. The twofold nature of the Protestant horn was identified by the transition of the Philadelphian Adventist movement into the Laodicean Adventist Church, and the twofold nature of the Republican horn was identified in the controversy between the Democratic Party's pro-slavery position that produced the Republican Anti-Slavery Party and the first Republican president. The first Republican president is placed in the middle of the three-step prophetic signature of truth. He is therefore the ending of the first period and the beginning of the second period. Just as was the cross the ending of the 3.5 years of Christ's personal ministry, and also the beginning of his 3.5 years ministry in the person of his disciples. The beginning of his personal ministry was at his baptism, which symbolically represented his death, and that period ended with his death. His death began the ministry of his disciples that ended with the death of his disciple Stephen. The speaking of the Alien and Sedition Acts in 1798 was the beginning of a period that ended with the speaking of the Emancipation Proclamation. The Emancipation Proclamation marked the beginning of a second period that ends when the United States speaks as a dragon. The president that spoke in 1863 was the first Republican president. Therefore, the last president will also be a Republican president. There are two movements that are produced by the three angels of Revelation chapter 14. The first and second angels' messages were presented by the Millerite movement, which rebelled and became an official church in 1863. Jesus always illustrates the end of a thing with the beginning of the thing. The movement of the third angel, which is also the mighty angel of Revelation chapter 18, is the last of the two movements of the three angels. What began in 1798 as a movement of the true Protestant horn transitioned into a church in the rebellion of 1863, and when the history of the Earth Beast concludes at the soon coming Sunday Law, the rebellious church of 1863 will transition back into an unofficial movement, for what began as a movement ends as a movement. In the transitions of the Protestant horn in the beginning and the ending, a movement changes to a church, and then back into a movement at the end. In the first transition point, at the beginning, Philadelphia changed to Laodicea, and at the transition point at the ending, Laodicea changes back to Philadelphia. For the Republican horn, the transition point was the history leading up to the Civil War, which produced the Republican Party. For the Protestant horn, the transition point was 1856 to 1863, which was the identical history of transition for the Republican horn. Founded in 1854, the first national convention of the Republican Anti-Slavery Party was in 1856. For the Protestant horn, the symbol of rebellion was the legal organization of a church. For the Republican horn, the pro-slavery Democratic Party, is the symbol of rebellion. The third angel returned to Kadesh a second time on September 11, 2001, and the transition from church to movement began in the prophetic structure of the parable of the ten virgins. The first disappointment occurred on July 18, 2020, in the final and perfect fulfillment of the parable of the ten virgins. And in the same year, the sixth president since the time of the end in 1989, the president who was to stir up the realm of Gracia, received a deadly wound politically, as did the first Republican president receive a literal deadly wound. The measured outpouring of the latter rain began on September 11, 2001, and it continues to the soon-coming Sunday law, where the latter rain then is poured out without measure. The latter rain is the power from above, and Sister White repeatedly identifies that during the time when a power is descending from above, a satanic power will be ascending from beneath. There are three satanic powers in the book of Revelation that ascend from Satan's bottomless pit. Islam ascended out of the bottomless pit on September 11, 2001, in agreement with the smoke that came from the bottomless pit of the first woe in chapter 9. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Revelation 9, 1-4. When Islam of the third woe arrived on September 11, 2001, as typified by the first woe, it could not hurt those who had the seal of God, thus identifying the beginning of the sealing of the 144,000. The conclusion of the sealing is at the soon-coming Sunday law in the United States, which is where the sea beast who had received a deadly wound and had been forgotten ascends out of the bottomless pit to become the eighth kingdom, which is of the seven. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Revelation 17:8. The prophetic period of the sealing of the 144,000 began with a power ascending out of the bottomless pit, and it will end with a power that ascends from the bottomless pit. In the middle of that history, the beast of atheism, the woke dragon power, also ascends out of the bottomless pit to kill the two witnesses. Alpha and Omega placed his signature upon this history. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom in Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people, and kindreds, and tongues, and nations, shall see their dead bodies 3 days and an half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them, and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3 days and an half the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. Revelation 11, verse 7 to 11. In the year 2020, the Republican and the true Protestant horns were murdered, one by the political dragon power of atheism, and the other by the spiritual dragon power of atheism. They then were dead for a period of time represented as 3.5 days, after which they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon those represented as the dragon power. The fear that is currently being expressed by the progressive Democrats over the reemergence of the political might of Donald Trump is a fulfillment of prophecy. The fear that is being expressed by those who have followed the Ministry of Future for America represents a different type of fear. Those who should fear the message of Future for America are Laodicean Adventists, who were all called to be among the 144,000. But as certified Laodiceans, living in the fourth generation, which is the generations of vipers and adulterers, they possess no fear. The fear they need to take hold of is the everlasting gospel, which commands men to fear God and give him glory, for the hour of his judgment is come. That hour is the hour of the great earthquake that occurs when the two witnesses of the 144,000 are lifted up as an ensign, at the very time the Laodicean church is spewed out of the mouth of the Lord. We will continue this study in the next article. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Revelation 11, verse 7, 8. These events were to take place near the close of the period in which the witnesses testified in sackcloth. Through the medium of the papacy, Satan had long controlled the powers that ruled in church and state. The fearful results were especially apparent in those countries that rejected the light of the Reformation. There was a state of moral debasement and corruption similar to the condition of Sodom just prior to its destruction, and to the idolatry and spiritual darkness that prevailed in Egypt in the days of Moses. Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 4, 190.